Y'all glad to be in church tonight? Say amen. Amen. Give your preacher a hand. I just love your preacher. Y'all give him a hand tonight. All right, so let me talk to you for just a minute. I've had something happen to me tonight I've never had happen in my entire life, ever. So most of you know last night, I went back to Greenville. I had multiple staff members on my team who were gone this weekend. I had my executive pastor, who was Jerry Johnson's son, John. John, of course, John, I think John's preached here before. John was preaching in Florida this weekend at a church called Traveler's Rest that Brother Jerry had pastored. That's where John left that church to go to Southeastern, go to Bible college. So John was gone. And then my music pastor and my student pastor, Sam Harris and Aaron Howard, are supposed to be going to East Tennessee for a graduation. And so that left my team kind of short. I had my Hispanic pastor at church, Jaime Hernandez, and John's son, Jerry Johnson's grandson, Caleb, is my children's pastor. So I had several things today. I told your preacher, I said, listen, I got to leave when church is over Sunday night. I got to get back. But once I come back on Monday night, I'll stay with you. And look, y'all, I had the best time with y'all yesterday. I hope that y'all had as good a time with me as I did with you. We had a blast. Although for some reason, the women are kind of offset with me right now. What that is about, I'm telling you right now, no need for y'all to be sensitive. Come on here. Although two of you did testify last night, yeah, you do stop when you turn a curve. I'm just trying to be a blessing and a help to you, all right? One lady was juggling with me tonight. She's like, you can pick on women tonight? I'm like, I love women. What in the world? Good gracious. I'm the preacher known for edifying women. Y'all are like, well, you said something about her driving. That's not the first time somebody said something about your driving, all right? Let's just tell the truth and love the Lord and move on from that, all right? We're good. So we're changing out vehicles today. My wife's Suburban was being worked on. My daughter Grace is at home with us right now. We're flipping vehicles. We're bouncing. So I'm grabbing some stuff that I'll study with while I'm here. We're moving around. I have a black King James Bible I preach out of a lot of times. It was my father-in-law's. He went to heaven in 2005. My family gave it to me. So I preach a lot out of that one, and then I have a big burgundy Bible I'll preach out of a lot. Well, I had left my black Bible, my thinner Bible, right in the passenger seat of my truck. So Grace was helping me today get some things out of the truck. No worries. I had somebody come in today as I was leaving Parker's Chapel. Grace was in the truck. I said, baby girl, if you can get these things out, just leave it on my desk. I'll get it when I come back on Thursday morning. She said, yes, sir. And she was great. We were bouncing. We were rolling. So I had not paid attention to it. I got everything packed up. My jacket was laying in the passenger seat of the truck. I went and checked in at the Hampton. Appreciate the nice room you got me. Never had a room with a disco ball in it before, but I don't know what you were thinking. I'm joking, y'all. It's Monday. Good gracious, y'all are too literal sometimes. They get y'all straightened out. So anyway, I'm bouncing, I'm moving, I'm suited up, we're rolling. We're moving, and I had pulled some notes out actually for another sermon and thought, man, let me just slide these in my Bible real quick. And I may preach on this maybe tomorrow night. We'll see how the Lord leads on neither give place to the devil. And so I've got my backpack that I have with me and I've left my burgundy Bible, okay, up there in the room. So I'm on the way. I'm on the way to church tonight. And I moved my jacket at a stoplight. That black Bible's not up in there. Well, then you start running in your brain. I know it was right here. I was just here this morning. So I'm looking. And then, you know, as a man, you start looking everywhere, right? You're looking underneath the seat. You're looking in the side door. Look, when I got parked, I'm opening up, talking to a young lady in the pink. I was talking to you. What's your name?
Hala.
Hala?
Michaela.
All right. Talking to Michaela, we're having a good time. She's talking to me. I'm opening every door in the truck while I'm talking to Michaela. Michaela don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, where is that Bible? I'm thinking, you the preacher, dude. How do you not have your Bible with you? What in the world? And then it hit me. Michaela's walking off. Zoe's hollering at me. Zoe's like, hey, do you know me? I know you. And I'm like, I'm texting James going, bro, this has never happened to me in my life. But my Bible that I normally preach out of it's got to be in Greenville on my desk. But thank the Lord tonight. How many of y'all have a concealed weapons permit? Raise your hand tonight. I knew this was going to happen. Five women put their hand right up right off the bat. Y'all, is this being recorded? Omit this one. Omit this one out. Edit. Edit. Y'all, we have more weapons at our church on a Sunday morning than the National Guard Armory. I kid you not. We seriously like 2 concealed weapon classes a year. I've got these ladies who are grandmamas who, like, I just feel like I need some more protection. I'm like, don't be bringing that thing to church, right? You see them change their pocketbook size, you know something's up, right? Okay. So I want y'all to know I got my concealed weapon with me tonight because I got all my stuff on my phone. Everything's good. I told James, I said, dude, as many times I've gone somewhere and been blessed to preach and serve, never have I ever done that before. And James said, don't worry, Gene. Most church ain't got their Bible with them tonight either. But no, he did not say that. I'm just joking. Okay, y'all are good. So go to Matthew 6. I know if I had a woman driver, we'd be still trying to get here. and I'd have driven in the right lane all the way here. No, why are y'all being so sensitive right now? What in the world? Y'all are awesome. I love you. Thank you for letting me cut up and interact with y'all. Y'all are a lot of fun. The Lord's good, is he not? I've got some friends with me. I say they're from Greenville. They're actually from Beaufort. Jerry, Sheila, raise y'all's hand real quick. Love this couple right here. Y'all give them a hand. They came to be with me tonight. Well, what this is, I told y'all this is one of our favorite places to vacation at. And normally while we're here, my family, we'll run up from Summer Winds there in Indian Beach, and we'll come down to Beaufort. We really enjoy Beaufort, all right? I personally like to go down there and walk by the yachts, because the yachts and the boats change in size. Like on the back of Beaufort, you got just little fishing boats. And then right there in Beaufort, you have like Jerry Richardson used to have his yacht there, right, called Top Cat. And anyway, I look at all the things I'll not own this side of heaven, right? But we'll come down here, and I think a couple of times we've gone to Ribeyes. And that's, we like to go in there and eat, and then Fins is one of our favorite places to eat at. And we'll see Jerry and Sheila in there. So Sheila's sister, she has 2 sisters that are super faithful with us in church, Bootsy and Ginger, and her niece and my son Jonathan are on a school trip together right now in Orlando. They're seniors. They've grown up together. Olivia's going to be probably the valedictorian of her class. Jonathan's going to be salutatorian. And so they're tag teaming. And so we're excited about that. We're both proud of them. Obviously, if Jonathan is salutatorian, he took after his mom, by the way, okay? You discern that. But just a wonderful family. Sheila's mama, how old is your mama, Sheila? 86. Miss Libby is her name, 86 years old. Miss Libby loves her preacher a lot. If you saw Miss Libby, you would not think she was anywhere close to being 86 years old. She is a very young-looking woman, very classy, very energetic. She looks about 30 years younger than what she is. I kid you not. But Miss Libby, I mean, she has this running joke with me. And she's always like, you know, Pastor, if something were to happen to Miss Leslie, she's like, I'm the next one in line. So we joke about that, and I'm like, church, just pray for Leslie's health. Amen. Everything be good. I don't want to be Sheila's stepdad, but anyway, it's good. They're a great couple. I'm glad they're here with us tonight. Look, stand with me as we honor reading of God's word. I'm glad we can laugh together for just a moment. The subject, though, we want to talk on tonight is certainly it's a wonderful subject, and it's a serious subject. I think it's one that we all understand how important this area is. All right, so let me give you this as we get going. I'm not browbeating anybody. I'm not accusing anybody. I'm not telling anybody not they're a bad Christian. What we're going to preach on tonight is an area that exists in every one of our lives. If you're saved tonight, say amen. Amen. All right, so this area is already a part of your life, so don't go into guilt mode and start thinking, I'm a horrible person because this area is not as strong as it should be. No, no, no. When you realize an area is not as strong as it should be, that's an area that God wants to grow you in. For example, how many of you know that you may, in your Christian growth, you might need more patience? Raise your hand. Okay, I'm not preaching on that this week unless the Lord changes it. Okay. Amen. That doesn't mean you don't have patience, right? If you got Jesus, you got patience, do you not? It just means you need to grow in it. So do not go into the message tonight and think how bad I do this or how off I am when I do this. You're going to miss the point if you do. Rather, let's look at the Word of God and let God's Word speak to us tonight. Let's capitalize this Monday night service and let the Lord move and work. Obviously, Jesus here is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. What an awesome sermon. If you've not gone through it recently, you ought to. From the Beatitudes to the blessing and the warning at the end. What a great, great passage of Scripture. Pick up with me Matthew chapter 6 and go to verse 5. And you'll see exactly where we're going tonight, church family. And I'm thrilled to share this with you. Jesus is speaking and says, and talk back to me here a little bit. Help me a little bit this evening. And when thou... Christ never calls into question if his people are going to pray. If you're a child of God, you're going to pray. So it's understood that when I'm saved, I'm going to pray. And all of God's people said, all right, watch him set this up for us perfectly. Matthew 6:5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. So their praying is for show. Certainly, or assuredly, our King James says to us, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, help me now, when thou enter into thy closet, when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not empty repetitions or chants or vain phrases. Not vain repetitions as heathens do. They think they shall be heard for their much speaking. So Jesus said, it's not the quantity as it is the quality. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For I love this. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. He goes on from that passage to give us the disciples' prayer. Just flip over a little bit into Matthew chapter 7 and let's look at our main text. So Jesus says, my people are going to pray. When you pray, here's how I want you to pray. I want you to get by yourself. I want you to get real. I want you to get genuine. I want you to be transparent. I want you to be open. And when you pray in secret, you're going to see me answer in public. Keep it in that order. And then he brings us over to chapter 7. He goes back to it. Let's read this. We'll pray. I'll have you be seated. Y'all, this is a great passage. If you don't underline in your Bible, do that. Ask. He breaks down what prayer is for us. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone, I'm glad we have an everyone Christianity, everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I want to preach to you tonight on God's answered prayers. If you got some prayers tonight in your life that you need God to answer, say amen. Amen. Let's look at it from the Word of God, how that happens. Father, I love this church. I love the fun I can have with them, the rapport I can have with them already. That is something you give us in Christ Jesus. To walk in and to meet a group of people yesterday and feel like I've known them for 20 years and immediately through the person of Christ, we have communion and we have fellowship. Lord, that's something that only you can do. Thank you for this church's love for you. I told that to my wife last night, how evident that is. Thank you for their love for the pastor and his dear wife and family. That speaks volumes of their walk with you. Thank you for those who are with us tonight, that are church family. Thank you for those visiting from other churches that, Lord, I know tonight what it means for me to have Jerry and Sheila with me and the friends they are in life and ministry. Lord, I pray that you would bless tonight. Work with us. Lord, would you unfold this text tonight for us that we will leave on this Monday night encouraged, edified, and excited about what it means to pray share, talk with you. Would you bless this time, Father? We love you tonight. We ask all this in Jesus' name for his sake. And amen. You can be seated. Have you ever had a prayer that needed to be answered? I used to drive the illustration yesterday to connect with y'all. Let me walk through the studio again. Have you ever done things like been late somewhere and got to a stoplight and prayed that God would turn the light around? Check the box. Look, just real quick, because maybe y'all us for a minute. How many of y'all have ever done something like that? Raise your hand. Because I have. Right? Y'all do know. You wait just a certain number of seconds, that light's going to turn green. Are you with me on that? That's going to happen, all right? How many of us, when we were in school, ever took a test or a quiz or an exam and we became missionaries, amen, Father, before we took that quiz or exam or test? How many of us have ever prayed for a test or an exam that we really did not study for? Raise your hand right quick. Now, Nelson and I have joked with this before. We're in college. I had a professor. He's just retired now from ministry. He would come in a very deep bass voice. He'd come into class. He'd start talking. I can't even mimic it so deep. He's like, "Lord, bless these young men. They study." I'm like, "Study? We were up at 1 o'clock last night with socks playing basketball in the room, but we didn't get caught, right?" And well, y'all don't know that. Nelson, you haven't done that, have you? He's laughing, but you stuck out the sheets, haven't you? Oh, yes, he has. Okay. We have sheets up the road. How many of us have ever gone for a doctor's appointment? And while we're in there, what we start doing? Start praying. Y'all ever prayed when they put blood pressure cup on you? That your numbers will be good? How many of y'all have ever done that? All right. Let me go and get to you for just a minute and get going tonight. I want to talk to you. God tells us from his word that we can pray about everything. Listen, nothing's too big. Nothing's too big. Nothing's too small. And if God's got the big and God's got the small, does he not have everything in between? So understand tonight, when we go to God and we go to pray, God has not insulted in what we're praying about. Now, I can slide in the back door and say, "Look, there's not a need for you to be playing the lottery and praying about the lottery." Why? Y'all leave Wednesday. That bothers you. Okay, it's all right. You say, "Brother Gene, do you have anybody in your church who plays the lottery?" Yes, I do. Not me. I had a lady, she was, you know her, I won't call her name. I'll tell you later what I'm going to make. She came out, she's like, "I don't know who." I had a lady come out, "Well, a great couple in church. I love the pieces." She came by me Sunday night. She came by me. No, Wednesday. I was here last night. What in the world? Okay? She came by me Wednesday at church and grabbed me by the hand on the way out the door. Work with me, brother. Come on. Razzie says, "Preach. I need you to pray about something." "Yes, ma'am." Calls him by name and she said, "He is having a bad time playing the lottery." And I'm like, "You know who tried to hide stuff in your face?" I had no idea. I'm like, "Oh, you don't need to be doing that." She's like, "Would you talk to him?" I'm like, "Why not? While we're here, sure, okay?" He said, "Well, if I won the lottery, I'd all that money to church." Look at me. No, you would not. You ain't tithing now. You ain't tipping them either. Okay, okay, that's going to work. So, no, you can pray about everything, all right? What are things in Scripture God talks about us praying about? He talks about us praying about our faith, our walk with him. He has us praying for our family, does he not? All through Scripture, he says we can pray for our families, right? He shows us that we can pray for our friends, all right? That God said, God said we can pray for our finances. He has multiple promises on finances. We can pray about our physical bodies. How many of you glad that God answers prayers about your physical body? Say amen, okay? So, we can pray about everything. Let me give you the second part, too. You can pray about anything. It's not just my faith. It's not just my family or my church family. It's not just my friends. It's not just not my physical relationship. Sheila and Jerry heard this story. I am a season ticket holder at East Carolina University for football. I love football. I played in high school. Had a chance to go to college. I love that. I went to ECU for 4 years before I went to Southeastern. So I was there from 92 to 96. God, that was, I probably put the average ECU student, probably was not called in the ministry. Had a little unorthodox path and seal. So God put us back in Greenville. We enjoy doing that as a family. My daughters right now know more about football than the average guy. Faith and Grace can be deciding ball games. And you go, why are we running a nickel defense right now? What is that about? All right. I just love they know that kind of stuff, all right? They picked it up. So we were at a football game 3 years ago. We're playing Navy. Navy's a hardcore in-conference rival. They run that old school wishbone. You've never had to play that offense. It is a nightmare of guard because it's a grind-up ball game that if you miss your assignment, we call it assignment football, you miss your assignment, they're going to take that ball to the house. And they are smart, tough, young men who are going to lead our nation days coming to the Navy, all right? So we always kind of cheer they come on the field, then we try to beat them. We're in a knockdown, just throw them down, go get them, tight game. We are about to go triple overtime. There are 48,000 people that night at Dowie Bicklin Stadium. It was legit. It was awesome. True story. They now allow drinking in the stadium. I don't like that. That's just the world that we're in. But I'm going to be gracious. So I'm going to talk to whoever's around me. Because listen, wherever I'm at, I need to be salt and light. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So we were having problems that year getting field goals. Okay? We would make them. We'd make them from 50. We'd miss them from 20. I had no idea, right? Good guy, have a kind of tough year. So he's kicking. He's coming in for his third kick for us now going our third overtime. Guy who's probably on his fourth or fifth course since we've been there. I've already kind of pissed up and high-fived him a couple of times. He's behind me. 48,000 people in Dowie Bicklin Stadium. He taps me on the shoulder. Our kicker comes in the game. Navy calls a timeout. It's our last timeout. Navy calls a timeout to ice our kicker. Our guys run off the field. He taps me on the shoulder. I'm telling you, he's 5, 6, 7 cores into this thing right now. He taps me. He says, hey, man, can I ask you something? Preachers attract this kind of stuff, do we not? I said, man, yeah. He said, how many people did I say was in that stadium? 48,000 people in that stadium. He says to me, being one hand, taps me up, hey, man, can I ask you something? I said, sure. He said, aren't you the pastor at Parker Chapel? Hey, 48,000 people in this stadium. And I said, no. No, I didn't say that. I said, yeah. I didn't say it ugly. It just threw me off guard. Are you the pastor? I said, I am. He said, man, you did my cousin's wedding last year, and it was absolutely awesome. Praise the Lord. He says, man, can you please pray to go make this kid right now? Oh, and I had to explain theologically for Rick Brown. I said, listen, we'll pray for him, but God doesn't care if he makes this kid. That's a hard reality for everybody, won't it? You said he's making a kid. Nope. Did you pray for him? Nope. Probably should have had an eyesight. Okay, all right. When we say that we can pray about everything, we can pray about anything, we do need to keep in balance. Everything, anything, are those things that matter to God.
Amen.
Now, would I love to see him make that kid? Sure. I have a great opportunity throughout my year. I do a lot of chaplaincy work with the public schools. I speak to a lot of high school teams every year, a lot of high school athletes. We do college. I love the chance to do that. I always take the scriptures, and I pull something out about team, and before I finish that devotion, I always bring them around knowing Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. I love being able to do that. Can I say this to you tonight? It's more important
We got to be real. We got to be transparent. So he says first, Jesus says, all right, go to your closet, get by yourself, and pour yourself out to your Heavenly Father. And God who sees you in private worship will honor you in public. He will bless you in due season. We looked at that last night. So right there, the first thing he says here, ask. The first part of praying is to simply what, church? Ask. The idea of asking here in the original language is to go and inquire, but there's a word picture in the text. In fact, there's three word pictures in this text tonight. The word picture is a sign of a child going to a father and asking. Now, how beautiful is that for us tonight? Because when you and I go to pray about everything, and you and I go to pray about anything, who are we going to as children of God? We're going to our heavenly who? We're going to our heavenly Father. Now, I've got our three children. I told you this yesterday. I have Faith, Grace, and Jonathan. Okay? Rebecca and James are inverted to how we've done it. We had our girls first, our son second. They got Elijah, and they got two sweet girls there with them. So let me tell you about girls. Girls are princesses and drama. I went upstairs. One day, we had a bonus room upstairs. Went upstairs to check with the girls. They're being quiet. Jonathan's a baby at this point in time. He's not very old. I go upstairs and Faith and Grace. They're, you know, Faith's married now. Grace is going to graduate college next year. They've got like these little towels wrapped around, and they're holding flowers, and they're walking around. So I came to the bonus room and said, what are y'all doing? We're having a funeral. This is when you know your dad's a pastor, okay? Children of ministry get very exposed to funerals. I said, who do you have a funeral for? She's like, Faith goes, well, we're orphans now. Are we playing like I'm dead? What in the world here? We're not you dead. I mean, I'm not my real dad. That's because y'all look at me. Girls, y'all are born. Drama. You like it? I got five ladies in church right now. This is a running thing at Parker's Chapel. I've not announced all five couples having babies. It's about to drive my women crazy. I've had grandmas come out. We have a 10:30 Wednesday morning service and love me and correct me and go, you just love to know stuff that we don't know, don't you? I'm like, I haven't been given permission to tell you just yet, okay? Women, drama, princesses. Boys, destruction. Right? Yeah, look at that. I don't know that kid is up there. He's going to break his neck shaking his head. Right? They're not drama. They're dirt. They're blood, right? They're, hey, that dish is this big. You think we can jump a bicycle across it? Right. Now, here's the thing I'm going to tell you. Whether it's Faith or Grace or Jonathan, when they come and ask me for something good and right and something I know that they can be blessed by or something they can use, what do you think my answer to them is going to be?
Yes. Yes.
Now, Jonathan has wanted to drive since he was 12 years old. And I let Jonathan start driving when he was about 12 years old, not on a highway. We would go to the church parking lot, and I let him drive around the parking lot just like his sisters did. And that's what we did. And we got him ready for when he was 15, God's permit, so on and so forth. And we know that God's answers to everything and anything, we're going to get three answers from God. Yes, no, or not yet. There are people in here tonight that love God with everything in him, and listen to me. You have gone to your Heavenly Father more than one time, and you've done exactly what God's asked you to do. You've asked, and God may have said yes. By the way, how many of y'all have some answered prayer say amen tonight?
Amen.
Don't you love when God says yes? Isaiah said it sometimes that God is answering while we're even asking. He's already given it to us. How good is our Lord? But isn't God good for the times? He's told us no. Amen?
Amen.
Look at me. In this time, praise God, you didn't marry her. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God, you didn't marry him. Right? Look at me. If you go to a family reunion and everybody crazy. If you already married her, I'll say over tomorrow night and talk to you. Everything's fine. All right, you married her. But hey, look at me. Aren't you? How about the time that you thought you wanted a job and you didn't get and I came here and I moved down here and thought I had a job, and I didn't. And then God gave me something a whole lot better than I thought I was going to get in the first place. Listen, we know yes, no, or not yet. We understand that. But well, here's what we're going to have to be reminded of tonight. Are we coming and asking? James said to the church, maybe the first letter of the New Testament, everything and anything, the answer's been yes, no, or not yet. But James looked at them and said, number one, you're asking so far off target, it's almost like you're committing spiritual adultery as men and women, because what you're asking for is not what God wants to give you. You're just asking for the world. Hence the lottery. You ask it off target. Right? But here's the bigger problem. You're not just asking off target. Most of the time, you're not asking at all. The Bible says, talk to me, we have not because we ask not. I'm going to come at this again. I'm not trying to challenge, neither am I trying to change the church culture. But we have really got a hold of this in our church family. It doesn't make us superior to anybody. Something that God has done. Y'all, why are we not at the altar more? Why are we not at the altar more? And why is it that for about 80% of believers, you're not going to the altar unless it's a 9-1-1? Why? Look at it. I mean this very kindly. I'm not saying you got to be at the altar every time the pastor gets done preaching. But y'all, and I know that we sometimes we want to move on how God makes us feel, and that's not wrong. But y'all, how about if James is preaching sometimes, and he's laid it on strong, and he's laid it on thick, and the Holy Spirit's working in his life, and you're seeing that, and you realize that what he's preaching out from the Word of God is not hitting you. That's not where you are in life. Why do we have to go to the altar when things are wrong? Why can't we go to a place of prayer when things are right? Why can't I come up, listen, we'll judge you out here and move on. Why can't I come back to the same place I asked and come back and thank God for the answer? Why is it I came asking but got the answer and didn't come back and say, by the way, Lord, last Sunday I was right here and you answered on Monday, and Lord, I'm not coming because there's anything wrong. I'm coming because I asked and you answered. If God's ever answered your prayer tonight, say amen. Why have I not come back to the same place of prayer and said, Lord, thank you for how when I asked, you answered? By the way, it seems like there's a story in the Gospels about that, about some lepers. Do y'all remember that now? And Jesus said, I know I got the woman worse than the nine. Do we not find ourselves sometimes being that nine that we asked and got the answer, but we didn't come back and show affection or gratitude? Listen, come to the altar not because things are always wrong. Come because things are right. So go ask. Ask your Heavenly Father. You know what else he says here? Ask, right? Then he says, see. This is where we get in trouble. Seeking here is a picture. It could be one of two things. One, it could be of a shepherd who was going out to pursue a sheep. Well, we see that in the Gospels, don't we? It also could be used, it is used, of a farmer going to plant a field. All right, you ready? Let's talk for a minute. This is, y'all with me? Everything, anything, yes, no, not yet. Boy, I'm going to come and ask like a child does a father. Now I got to see. Hold on now. I get in trouble here sometimes, too. Let's say we're praying about a job. Okay? Let's say, Michaela, you already used you. Michaela's going to be praying for a job. Michaela comes off, second word from the back. She had to get that seat early in this church, all right? We're the same way in green. Michaela comes forward, comes down. Rebecca sees her come down. Rebecca comes and, Michaela, what you praying about? Miss Rebecca, I'm praying about getting another job. Rebecca prays with her. And God the Father hears him pray. He hears his two precious daughters, lays this out. God, would you please help me get a job? By the way, Michaela's not told me one thing about her life or a job or anything, okay? But Michaela's down here praying. Lord, I'm just asking you. I have not because I ask not. Because now I'm asking you, Lord. And Michaela goes back to her seat. And she never goes to turn a job application in. She never looks for a job. She never goes on a website. She doesn't do anything but sit right there. Is that all entirely wrong? We can't say it's all entirely wrong. But y'all, is it entirely right? Bible tonight, Matthew 7, he says, ask and what? Seek. Look at me. For me to get some answers from God, I've got to take some action on my part. See, the first picture is of a child going to a father, but the second picture is of a child growing up in themselves in adolescence. Let me tell you something about parenting real quick. I'm not saying we're perfect parents. We start to learn some things. Listen to me real quick about parenting. You cannot solve all of your children's problems. Do not do that. Listen to me. If you remove all the adversity, you're going to steal their strength. You moms who have sons that say to you, grace and kindness, your little boys have got to learn how to lead. They got to learn how to get bruised. They got to learn that when they bleed, they're not going to die, and when they bruise, they're going to be all right. They got to learn how to be sick. You ever seen a grown man who's sick? Well, we won't talk about that. Hey, hallelujah. You can't look at me. You can't do your children's homework. And wonder why they didn't make good grades. Y'all, my wife is a wonderful educator. Good gracious. And she told me a letter story. She said, I know this lady who always did their child's homework in a certain subject. And I think the person helping them meant well. I don't think they meant evil at all. But she said they make hundreds on all their homework, and then they make 70s on all their test grades. Y'all do know a good teacher picks up on that, right? Okay, my point is, you gotta help your children at the age appropriate, learn how to do some things. But y'all, is God the Father not doing the same thing with us?
Yes.
You've been praying about joining the choir. Y'all had a great choir. What was it, on Mother's Day? What was all the men with the choir? Is that right? Yeah, I heard that story tonight. So y'all can sing one day out of here for Jesus, but you can't sing another 51 Sundays. Let's start just as I am right now, okay? There's some things, look at me. What he's saying, what our Lord and Savior is saying in the second part of this passage is see, you got to go after some things that you asked about. In other words, yes, I'm going to give it to you, but I'm going to give it to you as you exhibit some. How often do we think we, listen, we've done right. We've asked, but you ever say it to you this way? We've asked and we didn't act on it. So Jesus says, you want answers? I'll answer everything. I'll answer anything. I may say yes, no, or not yet, but understand this. You have to ask and you have to seek. Come to me as a child, but understand that you're going to have to act on this. Right? Then he says, what's the next thing he says here? Ask, shall be given. Seek, you shall be fine. Then the third thing we'll hit tonight. So in our last one, he says what? What are you knocking on?
The door.
The door. Why would you have to knock somebody knocking on the door there? I love that you do this. It doesn't fit our dynamic where we are in ENC, Eastern North Carolina. But I asked somebody tonight about this. I love that y'all do this right here, okay? How do y'all start your church service? All right, start with prayer. What happens when you start? How do you know y'all start a church?
The bell.
I personally want to ring the bell to start at least one service for you tonight this week, okay? Y'all think for y'all right here in Moorhead, where you start service ringing a bell, that is one of the coolest things in the world. Do what?
Yes, sir.
I love it. I don't know if we need to have every child there ringing that bell, but anyway, we're going to. I thought last night for a minute, y'all were going to ring the bell for every hour it was. I thought, man, imagine having church at 9 o'clock at night. But anyway, that's not what you do, right? But that, look at me, that bell's not going to ring itself. Is it? Somebody's going to have to go up there and start. I love that y'all incorporate children in your worship. I think that's awesome that you do this. But somebody's going to go up there and ring that bell. Alright? Let me say this to you tonight. When we think about the word knock, there's another word picture in the text. It's a picture of a gate that is shut that you don't have access to. But you believe there's someone on the other side of the gate who has got the keys and they've got the entry point that if you will knock, listen to me, this is so good, we as believers, we love to walk through an open door. But y'all, every time God answers, it's not an immediate yes. There are sometimes God is saying, not yet, but here's what he's doing. He is more concerned about developing you as a person than he is delivering you from the problem. And you're like, Lord, when is this going to let up? When is this going to be better? He's like, no, you don't understand. I'm going to answer my time. I'm going to bless. I'm going to help. And I'm going to deliver. I've already written the story. And when we get to the end, praise God, it's going to be awesome. But he is developing you through knocking on something that he says is not time just yet. I'm telling you, as we're growing, sometimes our immaturity, we get told no or not yet one time, and all we want to do, we want to quit. Let me give you some pictures of that. Let me give you some real life pictures of that. You have a child right now that's away from God. Let me tell you about saying being a pastor. I've been a senior pastor now for 19 years. I've been in the ministry now for 28 years, okay? I don't know it all by any means. I learn something new every day of my life. Y'all, I've seen parents who keep their kids in church all the time that love Jesus. They're real as they can be. They have raised that child in a Christian home. They took that child to church all the time. And I've seen those kids not be found in church. I've seen other people that hardly ever came to church. You've never seen them. We couldn't get them in there. When they were there, they were halfway there. And their children had gone to the ministry. Sounds like free will to me, does it not? You get to that point, and I've got some great people in our ministry. They got some wayward children. By the way, God loves those wayward children. Amen. Let me tell you something. We believe as believers, as Free Will Baptists, God's not give up on those wayward children. Amen. We believe that God can. We believe, by the way, we believe there's a reason the story of the prodigal is in the inspired word of God. Do we not? We know that God can. We know it may take some time. We may take some effort. And I may feel like sometimes I'm knocking. But the Lord said, you knock, and I'm going to open to you. I may stand there for a while and knock, but God said, in my time, I'm going to act, and I'm going to answer. So you keep repeating this action. You go to these things. So here's what I'm saying to you tonight. Brother Gene says, we're all going to pray about something more than one time. Biblically, absolutely not. In fact, for you to get the answer from God, you need about everything and anything. It may take you going back repeatedly a number of times and saying, Lord, would you help me with this? Amen. Lord, would you do this?
Amen.
If this is not true, it's been told to me. Okay, so I'm repeating what somebody told me. One of our denominational leaders told me 3 years ago. Sheila and Jerry could vouch for this. He said, Gene, we were at a meeting in Nashville together. We were talking about our church. because we knocked, we prayed, we fasted, we begged God, we got them in the Word, and a marriage that should have ended ended up singing in the church choir.
Amen.
Jesus said, I want you to ask like children. I want you to seek like you're a young adult. But I want you to knock like a seasoned veteran child of God. I want you, for me to answer, it's going to involve you by faith asking, seeking, and knocking. Now let me pull in right here. The way this is written in the original language is this, and this is our take on tonight. If we're going to see God answer prayer in our lives, I pray about everything, pray about anything. I am going to get an answer. I'm either going to get yes, no, or not yet. But for me to get to that point of answer, here's what he says to us. I got to ask, I got to seek, and I got to knock. But hold on. The way this is written in the original language when he spoke this, it means to ask. Seek and keep seeking. And knock and keep knocking. Then he says, I'm anxious. Now, if we had time to read the rest of the text, he'd look at us and say, all right, y'all know how, by the way, let's close here. How many of us are sinners? Raise our hand. Okay. Do we know how to be good, though, people?
Yeah.
Most of y'all have children or grandchildren. Okay, I'm not the grandchild stage yet. Okay, by the way, Faith is not 1 to 5. Okay, all right. They just got married. I'm like, look, you're married for about 2-3 years. Don't worry about it, okay? Don't rush this thing, okay? At Lady Church, I know she's y'all. I know it's not. I promise you. Okay, we're good. How many of y'all got grandchildren? Raise your hand. How many of y'all would have grandchildren first that got to be adoption? How many of y'all had changed as grandparents? Y'all not the same people you were when you were raising those children. Y'all mellow. Y'all, what y'all are is you're closer to heaven than you were back then. You want to make sure you're about to get in, right? We don't need more salvation.
Amen.
We don't need more salvation. Okay. But do y'all know how to give your children? Say amen.
Yeah.
Do y'all know how to give your grandchildren? Do you think our Heavenly Father knows how to give to us?
Yes.
All right, let's thank Him. How God answers prayer. You have not because you talk to me. You have not because you what? Say it one more time. We have not because we
have not.
Tonight, First Real Baptist Church, Moya City, North Carolina, God has spoken to us about how we relate and interact and worship with Him. He has said to this church family tonight, y'all can pray about everything and you can pray about anything that concerns you and is a concern to God. God says, I'm going to answer with a yes, a no, or not now, but or not yet. But He's going to say to us, for this to happen, I need my children, which are called by my name, to get real about me and pray. And I want y'all to come and ask, keep asking. I want y'all to come see, keep on seeking. I want you to knock, and keep on knocking. And if you know